And good evening, everybody. This is your main man here, Rick, with Paranormal World Live on No Whiners Radio. And we have an awesome guest lined up today, but let's get through the beginning stuff real quick. If you're on the outside looking in, you got to go to nowhiners2.caster.fm. Underneath the right-hand side, you're going to see the two little bubbles. It's going to say live chat. That'll bring you in here. We're going to be taking live chat questions. I'm going to try to keep up with them. And we're going to possibly take some live call-ins a little bit later, but we will give you the word on that. But I want to bring in our main guest I am honored to have on our show. And his name is Danny, the creator of the Echovox, the Spirit Vox, and many other apps. I consider him a pioneer in the paranormal world. He has done some awesome stuff. But Danny, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am wonderful. I tell you what, it's been raining for 2 days straight, golf ball size hail last night. So it's finally calmed down. But the first question I wanted to kind of ask you, what kind of brought you into the paranormal? Did you have experiences when you were younger or anything? What kind of got you interested in the paranormal?
My whole life was, I guess, interested in it, and I guess a lot of people my age would say the same thing, that when they were kids they would watch like In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy, and then a few years later it was Unsolved Mysteries or whatever, things like that I was always really intrigued by. But even to a young, really young age, I was, even when I was really little, like I guess some of my first memories are being somewhere that felt spooky or feeling there was a presence in the room. To me, it seems like, I guess it's normal, but it also seems like it'd be an odd thing for some people.
Yeah.
Earliest memories, and like my baby scrapbook or whatever, that my mom kept when I was, real young, it says, there's like a milestone page or something. It says, Danny wrote or said it made up his first story, and the story was about ghosts. And that was, just learning how to talk and whatnot. So I always been felt close to it, and then a good chunk of my life I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to it, or think about it too much, even though I'd have, passing experiences or feelings or something. It's not something I focused on for a long time. But I've always been intrigued with the idea of EVP, and I've heard voice electronics at various points in my life that didn't really make a whole lot of sense. And growing up, when I was a teenager, my best buddy in high school, the house that he lived in was very haunted. And it's an old farmhouse, 1700s farmhouse, and it's like a dark something terrible there. Somebody hung themselves in the barn where his bedroom was, and we just had a lot of experiences there. So that kind of got me used to having that type of thing around. And so yeah, it's nothing that just happened one day, or I didn't get into it because the TV shows or anything like that. It's just something that was part of me ever since I was born, I guess.
You basically had that calling, is what you're saying.
Yeah, something. I mean, I remember being really young. I mean, I don't even want to guess. I was just maybe four or something, like really young, and going with my parents to their friend's house, and they would hang out. They were hanging out in the kitchen or something, and they had me go play in this front room that had these French doors, and I went through the French doors, and I don't know if they were like smoking pot in the other room or what they were doing, but I was a little kid, and they put me in the front room. And I just still remember the room was spooky and scary. It wasn't the same feeling a little kid gets, as like, oh, I'm in a strange place, because I'm sure that happened to me all the time. But this, it's stuck in my mind for all these years, that it felt like somebody else was in the room with me, and it's something that I remember, and I was really young.
So you never seen any like apparitions or anything like that when you were younger?
No, I mean, not when I was that young. No, I mean, I don't know, because it's hard for me to say, because to me, seeing things is normal, and I just think everybody does, and I discount it most of the time. It's like, oh, I'm just seeing things, or something in the corner of my eye, or whatever, but I've learned over the years that a lot of times those things I'm seeing out of the corner of my eye, or the thing I thought I saw dart across the room actually was something that darted across the room. So, I don't know, maybe I've been seeing stuff my whole life, too.
Yeah, I was always told to basically go with your gut instinct. The first thing that basically, the gut instinct is usually right. And ever since I've gotten into the paranormal, that's what everybody has told me, that usually if you think it's something like the pipes creaking or something like that, usually it is. But it's the stuff that you can't explain. And it's like you thought you seen something run out of the corner of your eye, but you never know. So,
yep.
How long have you been doing paranormal research and investigations?
Well, that would be ever since I was, maybe in high school. I would read books about things and try to learn about where I was. Like the house I just mentioned that my friend lived in was right next door to the Goffstown, New Hampshire Historical Society. And if you haunted places in New Hampshire or something, or just Google Goffstown, New Hampshire Historical Society, it's a pretty well-documented haunt and very active, and his house is just a couple hundred feet away from it, if that. So I, at the time would do research on that, and we used to get into it. We wanted to know who lived in the house. We wanted to know about the guy that killed himself there, but then again, we were, pot-smoking, beer-drinking teenagers with jean jackets with Metallica back patches on, and we were burning candles and drawing pentagrams on the floor and listening to Black Sabbath and, doing things that in hindsight we probably shouldn't have done, but we did. We were, 14 years old, whatever.
You were going through that rebel stage.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, just that whole thing then, I guess. To me, that was normal then, too. I guess everybody was trying to conjure demons in haunted houses, So, but then, like I said earlier, I took a break from it. Like, not consciously. I didn't say, I'm not going to pay attention. But I just got wrapped up in my life, and I lived out west for a long time, and I really into playing music and that whole thing. So, I rehearsed for many years in a building in downtown San Francisco in the Tenderloin District, right off of Market Street, over behind the Warfield Theater. I practiced in a building there that a few of my friends actually still have rehearsal spaces there all these years later. And it used to be a bowling alley back in the day. And I spent all hours in the place, be 3 in the morning, whatever. I'd be there by myself recording stuff, whatnot. And you could hear people talking and the beer bottles like clanging, and you could hear the sounds of bowling. You could hear pins going down. You could hear the machinery and everything, but there hadn't been a bowling alley in there for 50 years. But it was just one of those things. It was like, I didn't put a whole lot of thought into it. Like, yeah, the building's haunted, and that was it. There was no, there was no desire to be like, I need to find out why or who or what. I was too busy with other stuff. Early in the decade, to maybe 2002, me and my oldest son, Jaden, it's like something for us to do, looking for ways to kind of connect with them. He's a teenager, and they're not the easiest things in the world to deal with sometimes. And we started going out ghost hunting just for something to do, because I had some digital recorders laying around the house. And so we'd go creep graveyards and some local places around here and stuff. And that's actually when I got my first, like, on-purpose EVP. Like, I went out to get an EVP, and I got it. So, it's been, 14 years or 13 years that I've been creeping around.
Yeah, and that's how it usually starts. That's because I know when I was back in high school, that about that age, the 14, 15, 16-year-old, I was doing all the crazy stuff too, like the seances and the Ouija boards and all that
yeah.
and all that stuff. And we thought it was we thought that it was perfectly normal until our first experience with the seance gone wrong. So and that's when I backed up and I said, okay, maybe we need to do something else. But then so you've been doing this for 13 to 14 years. What basically gave you the motivation to create your first app? What was there?
Well, I did. I was already making apps, and it's kind of this weird story. And I'll try to put it together as easily as I can. but I was working as a stagehand, and I blew out my knee kicking a soccer ball with my kids one day. I couldn't go to work anymore. And at the same time, I had a little pet project that was building expansion packs for another piece of software that's out there that's an audio sequencer. And so I already had like a Google account and things like that set up. So I was trying to, you know, get that thing going. And I just was watching TV and stuff and saw people using ghost boxes, and I've always been really into the idea and EVP, ITC kind of stuff where like the ITC work where you're using noises, static, a television, all that kind of stuff. I always thought that was really interesting, obviously, and through the years, I had different experiences with noise because being a musician and also being an audio engineer, I've had some stuff happen that just, you know, either gave me an experience as to what sound is capable of or, you know, exactly what a phantom voice or something that sounds like a voice would come through. And it just kind of dawned on me one minute that I was like, you know, well, why can't I make this phone that's in my hand make random noises? Like, you know, make noise that's tailored and catered to helping create EVP or voices, you know, out of thin air, basically. And so I actually, for the first thing I did was I went on to Google Play, and I searched for a ghost box. And you know how many apps came up when I searched for a ghost box? Zero.
Oh, wow. I was going to say probably many, but...
yeah. No, that was the three. Mine was the first. SV1 Spirit Box was the first ghost box, digital software ghost box out for mobile devices. The only thing software out before that anybody had ever heard of or knew of was that EVP Maker software for laptops, for Windows. And SV1 Spirit Box was the first software ghost box available. And what I did was because my thinking was, as well, if they can use the random sounds of the radio, which it seems like, which I'm not crazy about, I won't, but I have heard some really great evidence with it, and I've heard it back up Echo Box and vice versa, and I know that they work, but I think it's really flawed, you know? So I thought that digital would be the way to go. And when I first made Spirit Box, it was like a pet project. It wasn't anything I didn't know was going to turn into all this. It was just kind of a little app that had one button. You pressed the button, it started to make noise. It didn't record, it didn't do anything. It just made noise and a red light came on, and that was it. And I put it out there. I made a demo video for it. And the idea was not even so much for voices to come out of your phone. It was that you would put the phone down, play the sound, and put a voice recorder next to it. And the sound was designed to enhance or, you know, help encourage voices to come through on your recorder. Mm-hmm. And I still have app with that mindset. Like the GV1 Ghost Fox doesn't record. And it doesn't for a reason. It's meant to be put, you know, a couple feet away from your recorder. So that was the whole motivation for it. And then it just happened to catch on, and voices started coming through, and people were sending me videos and emails, and I was honestly shocked, because I thought it was going to be something I'd put up, and maybe, you know, a couple hundred people would download it, and that'd be the end of it. I had no idea.
Well, how long did it take you to design the Spirit Box 1? I mean, I know it's not an overnight creation type deal.
No, for me, the way I work, it really kind of was.
Oh, was it one of them, aha, look at this?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, when I get, I'm very manic, and Jen can attest to this because she sees me in all states, but it's like, all of a sudden, I'll get a hair up my ass to do something, and that's, you know, it's never like, just for the record, it's never like housework or home repairs or taking my car in for oil change or anything like that. It's like to build a spring reverb box out of a cigar box and an amp, you know, it's a, something weird, or to build an app that's a ghost box and things like that. So I usually just, I got to do it until it's done. So that was how that came about. Just I need it. I want to use it, so I need it to happen. So the graphic design was natural to me because I've been doing that forever and ever. So I had a lot of fun making it however the hell I wanted. It wasn't like a job I was doing for somebody else or something. So I only had to please myself, and I think I'm pretty easy to please when it comes to that stuff. Or at least I know what I like, you know. So it wasn't hard to come up with.
Yeah.
The noise took a little. The noise took a little longer, but that's why there's updates. It's not like the first sound it ever made was the perfect sound, you know.
It's always, and I see it in the group. You're always talking about how you're having to redo stuff because the first cut usually it works, but it's not as good as you want it to work. So, and I know you're constantly working on that stuff. And I know with the Spirit Box, that's where I caught my first EVP, and I think. BJ also says that too, was the SV1 was what I caught my first EVP on. And I didn't even know about the Echo Fox at that time until I got down to West Virginia and I was doing a public hunt with a couple of friends. And he pulled his phone out and he's like, well, look at this. Here's the Echo Fox. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And he turned it on and I was amazed by the results that we got out of there. So I went home and I downloaded it right away and I've been using it ever since. Yeah, and everybody knows what the Echo Fox is. They know the name, and I know it's making its ways around the paranormal community. I mean, you were saying that there was a TV show that just used the Echo Fox for one of their shows?
It's been on a few shows, actually. And real quick, though, before I answer that, I just looked at the chat room for the first time, and I see BJ in there, so I got to say what's up. BJ's been... He's been on, like, nearly every single interview show I've ever done for the last couple of years since day one. He's been around longer than I said. He's one of the first people that used it. If anybody ever has a question, they could always ask him, too, because I think he just said something about how he used a spirit phone and the old Echo Box before it was an app. It was a system of apps. And he was one of the people that I think he actually paid me $50 for the privilege to use it first. So that's when I first put it out. I was like, I don't want anybody to have this. I don't want it. People had to talk me into it. Be like, come on, try it. I'd be like, all right, it's $200, you know. You know, I don't want people just buying it because it's too powerful. It's too crazy. It's too weird. I mean, you could actually go to my SoundCloud. My Spirit Box SoundCloud page, right? And on that, there's a recording that one of these days I'll update the title so it's easier to find, but it says like 4:30 a.m. experiment feedback echo, whatever. I don't even know. It starts with 4:30 a.m. or something. And I'll find the link and put it in there or something like that. But it's the first ever Echo Box recording, and you can hear me. Like, it's like, I'm getting responses, and my mind is blown because it was just one of those things, like, I didn't even mean to do it. I didn't know what was going to happen. And you could hear me in the recording, like, this is the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life. Like, just mind blown, you know, and that was right out the gate, the first run, the first experiment. So, but yeah, I got to shout that out to PJ. And then, I'm sorry, I threw myself off track. I know I said I'd answer that question. What was it?
Oh, no, I was just the Echo Vox, how it's making its rounds and being used on television
shows.
Yeah.
TV shows. It's been on TV in weird places, okay? It's been on TV in Gibraltar. Am I even saying it right? Gibraltar. A very strange word to say. Gibraltar. I'm trying really hard. All right, we'll leave that one. And Malaysia and in India. And actually in India, I'm not even going to try to say Gaurav's name. I could just say Gaurav. I can't say his last name. But he is the biggest paranormal investigator in India. He's very famous there and got a TV show, Seekers. Rob Damaris was actually on it for a couple of seasons, and he used Echo Vox on there. And Gaurav got really into it, and he's still really into it. And he was on the news in India, which is basically the equivalent to CNN in India, with like the Wolf Blitzer of of India interviewing him. And he used Echo Vox on it, and it was talking to the reporter. It blew the guy's mind. I've been trying to get him to post a YouTube video of it, and I haven't. He hasn't put it up yet, so I'm not sure what's... He showed it to me, and I don't know what the hell happened to it, but it's great. So it's been used... I know a show just used it in the UK to film some other things that I probably shouldn't say because they're still in production.
Yeah, don't get yourself in trouble, buddy.
Australia. So all over. I mean, just not in the U.S. because apparently people are too good for it. I don't know what the problem is here. But everywhere else but here, people have used it on TV.
Yeah. When you were designing the Echo Vox, what basically was your motivation to create that app? Because it's kind of out
Echo
there.
Echo Vox?
Yeah.
To make Echo Vox? Well, I'll tell you exactly. And that's... All right, I made Spirit Vox, then I made, I decided it hurts me. Well, now I made something that I'm charging people $2 or $3 for to use, that they would, if they wanted the hardware version, it would probably cost them a couple $100. So now I'm making it so people watching Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters and stuff on TV can actually afford to have like decent equipment with them. So I made a couple other apps. I made a real-time EVP app. I made this other one that's not available any longer called Ghost Hunters Multimeter that had a bunch of different functions in it. And so, I wanted to make it so people could, for a couple bucks, they could have a decent kit and they could go to their, they could investigate their house or whatever. So I made some pretty neat apps. But what happened was is I get curious about stuff and have weird ideas, and I just was building alternative builds of Spirit Vox with more with chopped up speech, and to see what, and I was getting neat results with it, things that seemed a lot better than random chant, and that's what led to the 4:30 a.m. experiment that created Echo Vox. Was I was running the SV1 alternative audio engine that had some vocal snippets and samples in and noise. And I ran that through Spearphone, which is a real-time EVP recorder, which means when you put headphones on, you say something and you hear in your headphones yourself say something, but it's not just looping through the mic, it's actually being written to disc and you're hearing what was written to disc, so you're hearing the recording as it's happening. Well, I wonder what would happen if I plugged a speaker in instead of headphones. So that's what I did, and I got this, you can listen to the recording on the BJ, if you know where that link is, it's on my Spirit Vox SoundCloud page. If you could be so kind as to paste that in there, I'd appreciate it. Let me see here. So I guess it's loud ringing echo, and the rest is history. I mean, people can listen to what happened next. It originally it was those two apps, and then I, instead of putting them into one right away, I made something called Spirit Voice, which is available now in a second version that has enhancements because it kind of went its own way. It works, has like audibility because people kept asking me for something like that, so I made one like that. But I made Spirit Voice, and it was called the Echovox system. And you use Spirit Voice and Spirit Phone together, and my instructions were always to put your phone in airplane mode, plug in a Y cable, plug a portable speaker into one side of the Y cable, and a pair of nice headphones, over-the-ear headphones, into the other. And that's the way that I always recommended to do Echovox sessions. The speaker is for the echo and the ambience of the recording, and the headphones are so you can hear clearly what is happening in real time. And that's how I put it out there at first, and then everybody was like, "Well, let's just put this into one thing." This one started. Version one was a lot simpler to where we are today. There was no auto blend, there was no different banks, there was no mic gain, there was no independent speed channel. There was no four channels. It was originally one channel. It's come a long way from its original version. I think if you go back and watch, like, Steve Huff's got an old video of it where he reviews the original version and everything. Some of the ideas were user ideas. Some of them were my ideas. Some of them were people wanted control over the mic gain. So I put that in there. A lot of things are not perfect about Echovox. It's something that's always evolving. Bank A will be there forever, but if it was up to me, I would retire Bank A and I'd put it away, but people get amazing results with it. It's just, to me, it's a flawed bank because I didn't know as much when I made that as I did when I made B. But people would be pissed at me if I took it out, so I can't. So it's always evolving and always changing.
Yeah, and you get, and we're gonna go into this little session that you wanted to talk about, but with all the people that use it, you also have your critics out there. And I think one of the biggest things that I hear is it's got words preloaded into it, and where everybody's trying to explain to them that the GB1 runs like that, Echovox runs like that. I mean, it's not that you don't want to hear those responses that are like the
here's the thing. It's easy to counter that argument, okay? Because it's obvious that that's not the case, because it doesn't just say random things. That's not what's happening. It's not where responses are coming from. People that turn it on, that try to make sense of what they're hearing, they try to turn the blurbs into words and things, or you might hear a word, a partial word or something. There's no phrases or anything like that, but there might be, smaller, shorter words or things that sound close to a word, but it's not, there's no intelligence behind it. It's a recording with shuffled sounds being played into it, so it's not, there's no intelligence. So when you have, for example, a video, like somebody posted the other day in my user group, you put the my friend Sally holds up a bottle of orange juice and says, what do I have in my hand? What am I drinking? And first you hear a voice break through in a different frequency that sounds kind of like it's put together by Echovox Phonetics, but not exactly, but kind of, and it says aura, okay? But aura. Now, you could leave it at that, and that'd be pretty cool. Like, wow, it got close, like, kind of sounds like orange, like, have people be like, nah, you're. But immediately after, you get the aura. a woman's voice comes through with a British accent, much like Sally's, you know, same kind of dial, you know, a British accent. And says, orange. as articulate and clearly as any human could ever say it, comes out of the echo box. And it's happened to many people where they hold something or they're looking at something or they're looking at something on their screen or you point to a letter on something and it will say it. If I could invent software that knew what somebody had in their hand and could say what it had in their hand, I think the implications would be much further reaching than selling it to people in black T-shirts running around in asylums at night. You know, if I could build something that could read people's minds and then spit it out, I think that the CIA would be knocking on my door.
Exactly.
But, I mean, but I think I very well did build something that can read people's minds, but not not in the way that, like, you know, people would think, I guess, because many people have been like, this thing is picking up what I'm thinking. And it's happened countless times. So I don't worry about people. Put it this way, if people want to say, oh, I'm going to debunk Echobox, go ahead. You're not the first person to say that. It's been out for years. People have, television producers have paid programmers to decompile it. Looked at by Ben Hansen from Factor Fake. The app has been picked apart by hackers. There's nothing in it that's malicious or deviant. There's no intelligence behind it. I welcome, I want to say who, I think it's Dean Tail on Facebook. He is a programmer. He's decompiled it. He's been doing this for years and years, and he'll vouch for me all day long. And if anybody wants to, you know, discuss it with him, they're more than welcome to. He's seen my code. He knows how it works. He's been through my audio samples. He knows what's in them, and the mathematic impossibility, you know, the probability of any of the stuff that's happening to any of us is huge, you know. And now we're getting into sentences. Some of the audio clips I gave you, there's some crazy stuff in there. So I welcome people to go ahead and try to prove it fake. You're going to end up your mind's going to be blown. I absolutely, if it was not real, we'd know by now. And some people might know who I'm talking about. But you know, I've had people straight out tell me, hey, I ripped off your app, you know, I have your source code. I'm looking at it and everything. Go right ahead. It doesn't matter. And people come right out and say, well, you use this and you use that in the sound banks for sound sources and everything. And it's just baloney because the sound sources for especially Bank A is so varied. I don't even remember what half of them are at this point. To tell you the truth, I don't even remember what I grabbed to use for that years ago. And just slice it up. And Bank B, most of Bank B is unintelligible. I mean, it's just a mess of noise. So good luck. If somebody, seriously, make it your life's work. And there are people out there that they wake up in the morning hating me, and they go to bed at night hating me, and it is their life's work. And I really don't give a shit. So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter.
That tends to happen when you hit a success point, too. I mean, you made something that's groundbreaking. There's always going to be the haters out there. But I know you're having problems with, like, the iPhones, the updating and everything. And chat.
That should be all set. That should be all set any day now.
Okay, yeah.
That was submitted to Apple, and now it's just them approving the update, and it'll go live. So.
All right, that answers BJ's question,
so,
then.
Any day now. So iOS 8 users, you guys will be covered. Same thing with SD1. Spirit Box on iOS, that's updated also.
What would you say was the best kind of phone to use it on? Is it an Android or an iPhone?
I'd say Android, hands down. It works great on an iPad. I'm a big fan of it. Jen always runs it on her iPad, and it's definitely a different experience. I find that the way Apple hardware chooses its files at random is not as good as Android seems to be, but you also have to understand that no two Android devices are exactly the same. So it does run differently on different devices. So no two copies even run the same, you know, really. I mean, if I'm on a Motorola and you're on an LG and somebody else is on a Samsung, those three phones aren't going to run Echobox all the same. The speed, the playback speed could be a little bit different. You know what I mean? The microphones have different sensitivities. So it's more varied on Android, which I think is better. The more random, the better. The whole idea behind this is to have random chaotic noise, the most random chaotic noise that you can come up with, and that definitely helps right there.
Yeah, because I know when I first seen it being used, it was on the iPhone, and that's where we had, like, French accents coming through on us. And I was like, there is no way that – and after review later on, we found out that they were actually doing voodoo on us through the Echo Fox. I mean, some of the words – and I think one of the phrases that we got, it was something like 2S for 2 or something like that. And I'm not French, so. But it basically means you done fucked up. And it kind of got us worried because some of the other responses that we were getting. And when we slowed the audio down, we noticed that they were basically throwing voodoo through us through the Echo Box. And
right.
It was a pretty intense night for us. But if we wouldn't have heard it if it wasn't for the Echo Box. I mean, I've never heard French come through any SB7 or anything, or any other kind of device. So I think the Echo Box.
That's the cool thing about Echo Box is that that's the other thing. People go, oh, it's SB Pro. I didn't put Dutch in it. You know, I mean, it's got they use it in New Delhi, and it's, you know, it speaks to people in their native language. Who was in Mexico City, she does a lot of her sessions in Spanish, and she has some recordings that are just amazing. I mean, you can hear the accent on their Spanish is relevant to their region where she is, you know, and stuff like that. And like I said before about Sally's recording, it says Orange. We have a recording from upstairs in my house the other day where I can hear a guy that's got a real heavy French. In fact, you have that sound file, a real heavy, like, sounds like French-Canadian accent to me. But I've heard French come through it before a few times in my old place.
Do you know what that one's named? I can play it.
I don't have it in front of me. It actually will say, Joseph Paint the Room. There's two of them. There's the Joseph Paint the Room Full. Play that one first, and then Joseph Paint the Rooms is the other one is Slow. But Full is the first one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and play that for the listeners. It's an EVP, so I'm going to turn up the volume and all that. But I got the Joseph Paint the Room, the full speed, playing twice, and then the 4-second one playing twice right after that so you can hear it. So here's the...
Are you in this room? Do you fit in the chairs? Are you in this room? Do you fit in the chairs?
Yeah, that's a really good capture right there.
Yeah, Joseph, paint the room. That's all normal for us. Jen's got one she's going through that's on, she's put up on her SoundCloud. That's insane. That's from up there too, upstairs. We got a room that's being remodeled upstairs, and it's wacky. And a lot of the stuff that's up is from the same session. But you can actually, if you listen to that, could you play the first one again? And I want people to listen right before you hear the very clear voice that says Joseph. Right before that, and this happens a lot. And it's really starting to pique my interest because I'm noticing it more and more. Right before you hear the very audible Joseph, there's like a whisper or an impression of the name Joseph. About a second or two before that, you hear a different voice in a different frequency, different register say, Joseph. And then it says, Joseph, paint the room.
Okay, I'll go ahead and play it for the listeners again, and here it is.
Are you in this room? Do you fit in the chairs?
Yeah, that's a pretty good capture right there.
right before it, it's like this impression of it. It's like a reverse echo or something. Very strange. Yeah, there's some good. You have some good ones in there.
Yeah, I'll tell you the EVPs that you catch and the responses that you catch with the Echo Vox is just, I don't know, it amazes me every time I turn it on because you hear something new. It's like, yeah, okay. But
would you load up another one? Would you mind loading up the Female Spirits of Echo Vox?
Yeah, both of them?
Yeah, the one's regular speed and one's slow.
Okay. We will go ahead and do that one. Do you got any lead up to this? Where was it captured? Who captured it?
Bennett, and then should be self-explanatory.
Okay, well, here we go. We'll go ahead and play it. I got it loaded up twice for both of them, so here it is. That's the thing that always amazes me, because you can turn it on and ask what they're speaking on, and that kind of stuff comes through. So it shows an intelligent response.
That's the most clear one I've ever heard. There's no Echo Vox word in there. I'm sure the syllables and parts of it, if they needed it, would be in there somehow, you know, common sense. But the thing I love about that clip is that you can really hear every syllable very articulate all the way down to the box, you know. It's a good one.
Yeah, and that's one of the questions I had. Exactly, the Echo Vox, how does it work? I mean, are they just manipulating the sounds that are in there to make the full sentence or the full captures?
No.
Or how exactly?
No, it's far more complicated than that. What happens is I mean, I don't know. I don't know who's doing what to what. You know what I mean? I can't really answer that as far as how it works. I don't know. I just know somebody's talking to us. That's the best I can do. But as far as what they're manipulating, I think it's a combination of good old time, you know, good old fashioned EVP.
Yeah.
Like an impression on the recording. There's like a real time EVP. I think there's a manipulation of the samples as they're in the echo. They can be rearranged and the words can be slipped in the echo, and that happens a lot. So like words will come in out of sequence. So I see the cat might come out as ka si t I. You know what I mean? And then in the echo, those words end up rearranged as I see the cat. First of all, mathematically speaking, for that to happen by accident, it's completely impossible. Loaded random perfect words into a generator and it spit them out to just put out a perfect intelligible sentence would be very good, very high odds. But to have random samples echoing in a loop delay of a recording turn into words, let alone a sentence, is astronomical. You know, there's probably less stars in the universe than the odds for something like that happening.
Exactly.
And also we have to remember that the biggest thing here is that when you use an Echo Vox and the sound is all around you, you have to remember you gotta kind of like put yourself like in a Tesla kind of mindset, you know, and you have to think about vibrations and things that are happening that you can't see. And there's got these sound waves all around you, but they're not just sound waves. Simultaneously that you're hearing that sound and the sound wave is hitting your ear, it's actually existing at the exact same moment as zeros and ones in a magnetic form on your hard disk, you know, your SD card, whatever. So it's in a state of flux. It's in two places at once. And I think that's part of the mechanism. I think that the fact that it's magnetic and it's freestanding, it's wave and it's particle at the same time makes it really easy for something that can adjust vibrations or whatever to get it to do what they want. I think a lot of times they can't help it. I think it's like eavesdropping. I think part of the reason the Echo Box works so well is that it helps them hear us, because our voice is also carried into the microphone loop. It helps them hear each other. But who them are, I have no idea. But I think that's what it has to do with. It's all about the echo. I mean, when I hear about people using it, they're like, I don't like to use the echo. It's too noisy. Like, just here's your $20 back, uninstall it, and jump off a bridge. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what you're thinking. What, it's called Echo Vox. It's not called Random Shuffle Sounds Vox. The echo is the whole point. You can go around and use it without the sounds. You don't have to press the start button. You could just use the echo and do real-time EVP, open air. You'll get responses. You're going to get less responses. And, you know, I want to ask you and anybody else that's listening, I have a theory, and I have had this theory for many years, that it's been put to me by other people, and I think people understand this and will agree. And I've also had spirits or ghosts or whatever confirm this idea to me through Ouija boards and Echo Box and Spirit Box, Ghost Box, all kinds of stuff, is that there's rules for most of the spirits, whatever they are. There is rules. They're not allowed to say whatever they want through whatever they want, whenever they want. There's repercussions for talking sometimes, it seems like. There's usually a dominant spirit in a group of spirits that allows them to communicate or not, or gives them a hard time, or tell them to get off, you know, the app, which is something a few of us might have heard. And I think that's like a rule. If it's not allowed to, they're not supposed to be doing what they're doing. And we're not really supposed to be doing it either, but there's nobody to tell us to stop. And I think in that world, because I've gotten things that really sounded like, you know, they're breaking the rules. And I think Echobox lets them cheat because there's so much noise and there's so many voices. They're kind of like, hey, we can flip something in here. Nobody's ever going to know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I've always noticed too. You'll have the stronger voice coming through, and it's basically drowning everybody else out. And that's the guy that's controlling the conversation. And sometimes you have to listen very closely, because sometimes you will get the faint responses, and you won't hear them right away with your ear until you're going back through the audio.
Mm-hmm. But, well, that's because also. The thing that boggles my mind is Echovox works through a real-time recording, okay? But we still get EVP on it. So we still get information written to the disc that didn't come out the speaker. There's still words that didn't come out of the speaker. They didn't echo, nothing. They're just written onto this thing. There's no explanation for it. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, and Sony in chat keeps saying, Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Who's saying that?
Someone on mobile. They keep saying.
Oh, well, then maybe. Well, either they were there for it. That happened at Pennhurst. We were in the basement of, I don't remember what building. I want to say Mayflower Building. In a dingy bathroom down there at Pennhurst. And we said, you know, we were singing nursery rhymes. We were doing Mary Had a Little Lamb. And it suddenly occurred to us, Itsy Bitsy Spider, like a bunch of us at the same time, it popped in there. I was like, let's try Itsy Bitsy Spider. And everybody's like, I was just thinking that. And we got it anyway. We could we got to sing Itsy Bitsy Spider back, went up the water spout. Oh, it's Greg. What's up, Greg? Yeah, he was there.
Yeah.
He saw the whole thing. Yeah, well, he was there in the basement of Penhurst with me. He saw it. And the video for that is actually up on my YouTube, and there's an hour-long unedited version from Greg's camera up on there. Of that.
Yeah.
And he actually caught a great orb. Not an orb, but a ball of plasma shoot out of the room on his night vision camera, and it flew by a periscope that was on the floor. And in the video, you see this thing fly right by us and out the door. It went from behind me and went out the door, and boom, there's the periscope on the floor. As this thing flies by, the periscope lights up and follows it right out the room. That was a good night.
Yeah, it actually sounds like that's one of the places that's on my bucket list. But you wanna go ahead and take some calls? We'll load up a couple of EVPs and claim.
Should, huh?
Yeah. We will do that. I'm gonna post the number in the chat too, but I'm gonna tell you over here. The call-in's number is 813-642-7922. Okay. Now we don't have a queue system, so it's like first come, first serve basis. So the first call that pops up, I'm going to add them to there. You're going to have a couple minutes to speak to Danny, ask him your question and all that. But until them calls, when that call starts coming in, what EVP do you want to run? We got
You just pick one and then we'll talk about it. Go for it.
All right. Let's do Look Behind You, because that one kind of seems creepy. So do you know who – are these all the ones that you've captured or –
Go ahead and run it, and then I'll let people know. That way they can sink their teeth into it.
All right. Well, it's going to be playing twice. The callers, you can call in and ask the question, but here's the EVP.
Who's making the bed cold? Who's making the bed cold? Making the bed cold.
I always love them intelligent responses like that. The look behind you. So.
Yeah, that one's a little tough to hear over this too, but it's definitely a good one. That one has a few things. There's also a little bit later in that session. I think that moment in there too, where there's a voice that says, "I'm directly behind you," and we're going over a recording from today, and there's a voice that says directly behind you, but it only comes out in the echo. It's really, it's hard to describe. You have to hear it.
Yeah, and that's one of the ones that, I mean, you'll hear it coming through real time, but it's more when you get back to the review and you can slow it down and do all that is when you actually catch the full length of it.
You can play another if you like.
Okay, well, let's do... I'm trying to see. All right, this one's got a vulgar message in it, the fuck me, so we're going to play this a couple times.
Oh, this one's good, yeah.
So here's the here's this EVP. Play it three times for you, and just listen closely.
Robert.
He's like, "Fuck me, you're asking me a question."
It's actually saying, "Fuck me, Jen."
Oh, okay.
Because there's a spirit in our house that's a little bit obsessed with my girlfriend that says dirty things and stuff. So he seems to be in love with her, or whispers to her all the time and stuff. And it's pretty weird stuff. That was him.
Oh, wow. And is this the same guy that says, "I want Jen," right here, this EVP?
Yep. Yep.
We'll play this one a couple times. Oh, hold on. We got a caller. Caller, you're live in the Whiners with Danny. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's Greg from Ohio. What's
Greg?
Up, Greg? Hey, Danny. How you doing, brother? Good. How are you? Real good. Real good. Yeah, I was the one on there mobile. On the chat there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Echo Box is amazing. It works. Use it all the time. Firsthand saw it working at Pennhurst. That was the very first time that I had used it. And it was awe-inspiring, creepy as hell, awesome. It was, it's real and it works.
Nice. Yeah, you were there for a crazy night, man. Greg was actually with me in February at Pennhurst, and he saw it at the end of the night. Where did I end up? I ended up in a ball on a shower floor, like,
yeah,
sobbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not, at the end of the night was not good, but yeah, it was pretty a pretty wild ride. That place was amazing. I recommend anybody that is into investigating to definitely go there and check it out. It's an amazing
place.
Yeah,
it was on my bucket list. I crossed that one off, so.
Mm-hmm.
What part of Ohio are you from, Greg?
What's that?
What part of Ohio are you from?
I think it's Ohio, Canton, Ohio.
Okay, yeah, I actually grew up around the Mansfield Reformatory for 22 years, and I remember being a kid riding past that place.
Oh, yeah, I've been to Mansfield overnight 4 times now. I go every year for my birthday. Love it
all
there,
right.
Too.
Okay, cool. Well, I appreciate you calling in.
I have my own paranormal group, too, so I'm going to give a quick shout-out to 330 Paranormal Investigations.
330 Paranormal right. Investigations.
Yeah, 330 Paranormal Investigations. We're on Facebook. I don't have a website built yet, but we're on Facebook.
All right, sounds good. I'll have to check it out.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you. You rock, Danny.
Thanks, man.
All right. So the lines are back open. I'll give the phone number out again. It's 813-642-7922. If you have a question, a shout-out, or anything. Yeah, it's a chat delay and everything. I can tell. We got a caller right now, so here we go. Caller, you're live in the Whiners with Danny. Who are we speaking with?
Yeah, this is Dave from Jacksonville.
Dave from Jacksonville. How's it going?
We're doing good. Yeah, I wanted to talk to Danny. Amazing app. I'm not a paranormal investigator. I'm actually just a regular guy who lost a lot of loved ones, and I was determined to try to connect and got a hold of the Echo Box. Unbelievable. And just for example, I just went over a session that I had last week, and for some reason the Echo wasn't working. So whatever is on the other side came across, said my name, the Echo. And so I got that on tape. I'll probably be posting that later tonight for Danny's group on Facebook, but it's
well, you know, the thing with the Echo is I'm not going to say that they can't communicate without it, because I have software that is built around the whole idea of them communicating without Echo. You know, I mean, Spiritbox doesn't use Echo, and that works. The Echo is like the nitrous, you know, it's going to boost everything. So you might get responses without the Echo, but you're just not going to get the articulate EVPs that you would get if you have a recording running. But they can manipulate the sounds to do what they want.
Yeah, but I mean, when you have the spirit saying, "We need the Echo, help us out, get the Echo
mm-hmm.
on." You know, it kind of validates what you're talking about, you know, having whatever's out there needs that Echo to communicate easier. You know, it's not
yeah,
to say
exactly.
that it can't manipulate what you have, but, they just told me, you know, that, hey, you know, and I don't know why the Echo didn't work on that session. You know, sometimes I would press it and I'm not even in tune. The Echo's not even working. I'm just trying to ask some questions and trying to validate some of my surroundings and everything like
Are
that.
Are you on an Android? Are you on an Android?
Yes.
Yeah. It is what it is. Yeah, Android is such a buggy, faulty system. It's impossible to make it run perfect on every phone. So, yeah, it's going to happen. It happens to everybody. It's just not as far from perfect, so...
But I think there was a reason before that. It might not have been your program. It could have been something else manipulated. You know, because it was one of the better ones that I had, and I've had some really knockout sessions that are undeniable. You know, I hate the word saying evidence. I use validation because, but I'll go to bat with you. You know, if anybody wants to knock you down, you know, they would have to go through me and probably 1,000 other of your supporters, you know. I hate to just gloat on you, but, man, you did something incredible, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you. You mean a lot.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for listening.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy. All right, so let's see if we can get this EVP loaded. The line is open, 813-642-7922. We're going to play this EVP, and we'll speak about it, and we'll see if we'll get another caller. But here's the I Want Jen EVP.
Randy? Deborah, Randy,
now is that the same spirit that said to fuck me, Jen?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's pretty active.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff with him. I mean, Jen's SoundCloud has like 130 sessions or something ridiculous up on it, and they're all just chock full of stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing I always see, too, on your groups and in your Facebook page is that your family runs it. And it's like I've seen the photos and the videos of like two Echovoxes running next to each other and all that, and I think it's awesome. Have you guys ever gotten the same responses on different Echovoxes sitting next to each other?
We've run them, I think, I'm not sure if we got the same through, I mean, I have in the past, me and John Miller, people might know him as John the Cemetery Guy, I think he's over in, out by you guys, or in Illinois, him and I would do Skype sessions, and our Echo Boxes would, like, sync up over Skype and start saying the same stuff. And Jen and I have done sessions where, like, I would do a session on my Android, and then immediately after me stopping, she'd do one on her iPad, and we'd get, you know, the same name or whoever we were talking to would come through again.
Okay. Yeah.
On a different device. So.
Yeah, it validates it. Since we're talking about the family running things, we got another Jen EVP sitting here.
You might want to skip that one. It's pretty short. It might be kind of hard to hear.
Okay, we can do that. Let's see. What else do we have? We have the Danny Talk to Me Slow, Danny EVP.
Oh, actually, Danny, let's try that one.
The Talk to Me Slow?
Yeah, I'll do the regular first.
Okay, we'll see if this one will play because it's only a second long, so.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see if the broadcaster will play. Yeah, it's not going to. We'll try the slow. See
it's
if
only a
work.
Second long? That's not enough.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Right. Maybe the whole file. Yeah, you can try the slow one.
We'll do the slow one. Here's the slow one. See if this one. Did you catch that one inside your residence too?
What's that?
Where'd you catch that one at?
Well, right where I'm sitting right now. Everything that I'm playing, everything that we're listening to tonight was caught in our home.
Okay.
And that voice was actually caught a little while ago, like a week ago. It was running on an iPad in our bedroom, going through the Bluetooth.
tooth on my mouth, and I picked up my phone and pointed it at the Echo Box. I had a big piece of quartz sitting on it, and I made a video just to shoot a video to post on Facebook, like, hey, we're doing an Echo Box session, check it out. And I shot like 15, 20 seconds worth of video, and that's when I caught that Daniel talked to me. That file shook me up pretty bad, because that's actually the voice of my grandmother who died in 2006.
Oh, wow.
It's her, it's my grandmother Antonia, and it's, I have a real deep connection with her. Her name is tattooed under my arm on a rose, and the black in the rose is, with the ink was mixed with her ashes, like in an urn in my room. And I felt her presence before, and I've smelled her perfume before, but I'd never heard her voice. I'd never heard a living person's voice, you know, that I knew when they were alive, through Echo Box that I could recognize until I heard that sound clip that you just played.
Huh. I'm gonna play it one more time for the viewers, because they're talking about it in chat.
Sure.
It does become personal, though, and that kind of thing, it shake me up, too. But here it is a couple more times so you can hear it, and then we'll move. Yeah, when you get something like that, I can only imagine how emotional it gets.
Absolutely, her voice.
Yeah, I've had the last couple times I've ran Echo Vox, just messing around, I've had Miss Madison come through, and my aunt's last name that passed away from cancer is Madison, and it's like, and I had a meeting with my medium today, and she's like, yeah, she's back there, she doesn't believe in this kind of crap, but she's talked to you a few times, so I'm wondering if that was the Echo Vox kind of deal. I mean, it's just, that's all it said was Miss Madison, and I get overwhelmed with emotions, so it's back in 2001 when she passed away and all that, but, yeah, when you get something like that, it's tough.
But, yeah, I like that recording a lot.
Yeah, that's something you can hold on to, and just, I mean, when you know their voice, it kind of.
Well, I keep trying to reach her ever since that too. So I've been trying to get her again. I think I might have.
Okay.
So we run Echo Vox around here all the time. Like, I'm making dinner, I'll have it on the kitchen counter or something. Like, it's always, it's, we do experiments, and it's going all the time.
Now, what is, I wanted to get your opinion on, a lot of people say, like, the Echo Vox, you could be conjuring up the evil and all that stuff. Have you ever had anything evil inside your house that, where after you got done with an Echo Vox session, yeah, something happened?
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, like, I don't believe in demons, but I do believe in angry, sad, hurt, you know, energy, residual or whatever it is, having some kind of intelligence and whatnot, somebody being confused, angry, and I have had experiences with the negatives coming through. In some instances, it does seem to rile them up, gives them an excuse. And but, you know, I'm not a normal person, I guess, and I kind of get off on when stuff like that happens, so it's not the biggest. I don't know. I've had some really scary, crazy stuff happen to me, and I don't really regret any of it. So I don't fear the next crazy, scary thing, if that makes any sense. I guess it does to most people listening, I'd imagine. But I just, I have had experiences where stuff came through. I would say they were negative. They were evil, but there's definitely some angry energy, and that can come across as evil. And I think there's also a lot of deception coming from that side. I think they like to mess with us. I think it's entertaining to them to mess with us. So I think when they get someone with a weak mind using it, that will believe anything they hear, that's when they'll start saying, I'm a demon, you know, you're going to die, I'm going to kill your family, and all that. And then the person gets worked up, and they start giving out energy because they're worked up, and that in turn feeds the entity more and turns into the cycle where the people that don't really believe in it will hear something that comes through and says, I'm going to kill your family. Like, yeah, screw you, whatever. You can't kill my family. Your voice. You know what I mean? Like, that you don't have to let it get to you, and it really depends on your belief system. And I really, I don't want to offend anybody, but I think that the best paranormal investigator is somebody that's like an atheist, somebody that's non-religious. I think once you put a religious view on any of this, it kind of, you got to throw it out because you're putting a human skew on it, you know, and it's just not going to work. It's a square peg in a round hole. It just doesn't. You can't put people's preconceived notions on something none of us have any clue about, and I'll debate with somebody all day about it. I don't even want to hear about angels or demons or any of that, because to me it's all mythological bullshit. Honestly, I don't buy any of it, but nobody has any idea. Nikola Tesla couldn't figure it out. You know, the Bible thumper down the street's not going to figure it out either. So, and I, you know, to make this clear also, I know we're all on a search for answers and personal validation and everything, and that's that. And like the last caller said, validation, not evidence, and that's what this is. It's to prove it to yourself, because you're not going to prove it to anybody else. It shouldn't matter what anybody else thinks or believes. It's just for yourself. And we're all going to die, and that's when we're going to know what happens. And none of us are going to figure out the key for all of humanity. None of us are going to be on CNN saying, I figured out there's life after death through Echovox. It's just not going to happen. People aren't ready for it. People won't accept it. People don't care. People are indifferent. And the best thing to do, you know, do it for yourself. MMA, the last caller said he had lots of loved ones that passed. I've gotten hundreds of emails from people that, you know, it's just, I'm not going to say the person's name. People, mutual friends will know. A good friend of mine through social media and an old school Echovox user, she lost her husband in a fire not too long ago. And I was one of the first people that she contacted almost immediately after he died, because she wanted to talk to him and say goodbye. And that's, you know, that's heavy duty stuff, and it's nothing I take lightly ever. I feel like I feel humbled by it. I know I've somehow affected people's lives through my invention, and people are like getting married. Just a lot of lives changing, and you know, I don't take it lightly, but it's serious business, and the evil stuff is, it's all in your head. It's all in your head. There's bad stuff, but it's only as bad as you allow it to be. You know, I've heard stories about people getting dragged out of bed and things like that, but it hasn't happened to me. And if it hasn't happened to me, I'm just not sure if I can believe it, because I've just put myself out there. So I don't say protection prayers. I don't pray to Archangel Michael. I don't ask to be surrounded in light. You know what I mean? Any of that. I just go and do it. I've gone to cemeteries and invited people. Hey, come back. Want to come back and we can talk all we want. I'm still here. You know, fear mongering. A lot of people like to scare people and talk about demons and all this. And nothing makes me laugh more than somebody telling me they're a demonologist.
Yeah.
You know? You're a demonologist? That's awesome. I'm a unicornologist. Ask me anything about unicorns, I'll tell you all the facts.
You've had the callings for the unicorns.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Justin says in chat that he's ran into spirits that likes to give him nightmares, but knew what he was afraid of, and that's exactly what it is. If you're running into a spirit and they know what your weakness is, they're gonna say it. If they have ill intentions, like the evil side, I don't use the D word when I'm talking, so you do have the spirits that did malicious things when they were living, and they still come through the echo box, and they'll cuss you out. They'll say certain things, and if they know
exactly
what makes you, yeah, if they know what makes you think,
a bad person in life is a bad person after. So yeah. They're not going to change. You know, exactly. Or maybe, you know, everybody, even the worst person in the world, okay? Even the worst person in the world would have a good attribute. You know what I mean? Like, even Hitler knew how to paint. You know, like, oh, I'm a painter. Yeah, I've killed millions of people, but look at this lovely painting. Okay, everybody's got like a yin and yang thing going on, and it might be overpowered one way or the other, but who's to say that, you know, the different parts of you all stay together after you die? Maybe the really shitty part turns into its own thing, and the really good part goes somewhere nice, and the so-so part just kind of hangs around and stares at the wall. I don't know, but it doesn't mean that there's like a scaly demon with glowing red eyes and bat wings standing over your but it could have been, you know, it could be somebody that was a murderer or something in their life, or somebody that was really bad and you really don't want to still interact with them, and they will get inside of your head and they will mess with you. And I've at Pennhurst I had visions put into my head and saw things that I couldn't unsee and didn't want to see, and I know that they can do that, but it's only as much as you allow it too. So if you show fear and things like that, and I'm not saying to hide it if you're scared, because there's videos and recordings of me out there screaming like a girl when I'm scared. So it definitely happens. It's human.
Yeah, that just happened to me a couple of weeks ago with Dust Till Dawn here in Kansas City. We were doing a jailhouse, and I had a feeling like something was looking over my shoulder, and we were running Echo Box, and it kept saying, I can't remember what it was saying, but I had that feeling like something was peeking over my shoulder. So I turned in and I started to enter the jail cell. And when I crossed the threshold of it, somebody leaned up against the wall and hit the metal cage and pushed the door up against it, and it made a loud boom. And I probably jumped about 10 feet into the air, and I don't know if I let a scream out or not, but it was like the funniest thing of the night, because I was already on edge because of the stuff that was coming through.
Right.
But yeah, Ghost Girl, she says, so you don't believe in demons? And yeah, that's what he... But we'll go ahead and we'll play one or two more EVPs, and we'll give a couple more minutes for callers if they want to call in and all that. But we got one here. Which one was it? The Do Spirits Watch Us Do It?
Yeah, this one's really off of my house.
We'll go ahead and play that one.
It's exactly what it sounds like. We're asking if they watch us have sex. They were saying some perverted things, so.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and play this a couple times, and then we'll discuss it and see where the show goes. So here it is.
Spirits watch us do it. The spirits watch us do it. The spirits watch us do it. The spirits watch us do it.
That's a faint yes, but it's there.
Yeah, and it's between the vocal samples, you know. It's not an Echo Box sound. It's straight out EVP. We didn't hear it at the time.
Yeah, that's you always wonder that, like, are they watching me right now type deal? And, I mean,
well, that's the same voice too. That's the I Want Gen guy.
Oh, he's the creep of the house, and
yeah, that's the same one.
Well, I tell you what, where can the fans find some of your videos and your websites and all that if you want to plug them in?
Hey, well, I think BJ, I noticed BJ was putting a couple of links in. The first one I want to point out is in the chat room next to my name, there's a SoundCloud link to Jen's page. And it's entitled Noises Upstairs. And she's been commenting on that all day, going through it. And it's from a session up in the room we're remodeling. And it's pretty wild. So I would start there if anybody wants to tell some really good acrobats and read her comments, because she's done a good job at noting it. Also, if you go through her wall on SoundCloud, there's tons of really crazy stuff and just about all her sessions in my house. I think DJ put my spirit box SoundCloud up. I got a few SoundClouds that you can look for. Echo Box 1, Echo Box and the number 1 is one of the SoundClouds. And then if you go to SoundCloud.com
Phantom Master. You search Phantom Master, you'll find my page that's more for experimental projects and things like that. When I do beta tests on sounds and things like that, I put that up there. So there's some sessions and things. So Phantom Master, if you search that on SoundCloud. YouTube is Big Beard Audio. And you can find a lot of this through my blog, which is spiritbox.bigbeardaudio.com. There's links on the top left to get to the SoundCloud and YouTube. Twitter, at spiritboxapp, is a good way to get in touch with me or follow what's going on. And then, of course, on Facebook, that's Danny Big Beard. There's a few other things floating around out there with some good footage. If you look around, you'll find it. You know, it depends on how much you want to dig around. But I really encourage people that are new to Echobox or new to my software or whatever to make my YouTube and SoundCloud priorities, like, really right there. I've noticed a lot lately. I want to address this before we get off the phone. I noticed because I have a big influx of new users coming in.
You're coming through pretty muffled. I don't know if you got the microphone close to your mouth or.
How's that?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. I have an influx of new users coming in, and the user group on Facebook is growing. And what I found is that a lot of people are kind of skipping the learning curve, and they're just installing it on their phone and going for it, and not really understanding what they should be listening for, or what they should be doing. And Echobox is not the type of thing where you download it on Tuesday and you go use it Tuesday night. You need to learn the sounds, you need to experiment with it, you need to watch videos, you need to watch my instruction videos and my lectures. Nothing irritates me more than when people ask me questions that I've answered in public in numerous forms of media, from audio to video to writing. Like, it's there if you just look. If you spend time on my YouTube, you'll get everything you need for information on there. But it does take time. It's not instant gratification. You probably will hear something the first time you use it. Most people do. But you might not, and you might not understand what you're hearing. And so people really, I just encourage people to just take their time, take it seriously. It's not, I know it's fun and it's thrilling and exciting, but there's more to it, and you'll get out of it what you put in and into it. I've been using it for close to 3 years. I created it, and I still don't know the perfect way to use it. It's still not finished. It's, it's a big experiment. People, I just want them to learn from each other and don't just, just go for it. It takes time to learn. It's the information's there, so please do.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I've always said, too. It's almost like learning a new language at times. I mean, just the stuff that comes through, you're not going to hear it right away, like you said. So
right.
You just got
to... Well, you also need to learn to disregard. I mean, people send me messages, they send me YouTube videos, and all the YouTube videos is like 5 minutes of Echobox, and every single sound that comes out of it, they got a subtitle next to it to what they think it's saying. And I'm like, that's not what is supposed to be happening here. You're not supposed to be listening to that. Those are not your responses. The little blurbs that are spitting out of the speaker is not the point here. You're not supposed to, if you have to try to interpret what's coming out of the Echobox, throw it away. What I mean? If one person hears one word and somebody else hears another word, throw it out. If it's not clear as day, chuck it.
Exactly. Well, I do appreciate you taking time, and the listeners that are listening, if you don't have the Echobox, get it, learn it, use it. It's awesome. I put my word on it.
I suppose I should say, if you want Echobox, you could go on to the App Store for Apple, or you can go on Google Play and just search Echobox.
It's right there.
We should probably tell people where to get it, huh?
Yeah, and it's it runs for what, like $19 now or something like that?
What's that you broke up?
I said it runs for like $19, doesn't it? $19, $20?
Yeah, it's $19.99.
So, yeah, it's well worth it. It's worth more than $19.95, I'd say. But it's a great, great tool to have in your toolbox if you're an investigator. Or you just need that closure like we were talking earlier. You want to connect it to that family, that loved one, that'll get you there. But I do appreciate you taking your time and coming on the show. If you're listening to the recording, I'm going to put it up on Podbean and everything. I'm going to send you the recording too. But I do appreciate everybody tuning in. And I'll be right back to you.